Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord on this morning and offer him our praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done. A special welcome to any who may be visiting with us this morning. My name is Robert Adams. I'm the minister here at St. John's, and we welcome all those who join us on the live stream, whether it be this morning, November the 3rd, 2024, on a beautiful sunny day in Cornwall, Ontario. I do not know where it is, what it is like where you are, but that is what we are enjoying this day. Or whether you join us at a later date, we're pleased that you are with us. Announcements for this morning were on the screens as you were gathering, so I do hope you had the opportunity to take a look at them and make note of those announcements which are of most importance to you. A couple of brief announcements to be highlighted, however. The first is we've had some new folks come into the congregation over the last little while, and if you're thinking about, you'd like to become a member of St. John's, speak to me. We should have that discussion about new members at St. John's. And looking forward to the new year, I'm trying to gauge the interest in whether or not it's viable to have a confirmation class at the beginning of 2025. So if you know of young people in the congregation who are ready for that step in their faith journey, they should speak to me as well. In the email that goes out each week as part of our preparation for worship, and in the bulletin this morning, there are these questionnaires for an upcoming presbytery visitation. As part of the ongoing supervision and ministry of the presbytery, in this case for us, the presbytery of Seaway Glengarry, presbyteries will from time to time visit congregations within their bounds just to see what is going on and how they can assist in enabling the ministry of the congregations. We have come to that point where we are due for a visitation. Actually, everybody was due for a visitation. COVID did that to us. So it's been a very busy couple of years for the Presbytery Congregational Life Committee catching up on all of the visits. St. John's is due. If everything worked perfectly, it should happen before the end of the year. But I don't think it's going to, because I know that visitation team is still working on other visitations. If we have all of this material gathered together and in one place, when they come, when they tell us they're ready for it, there is not the same rush and panic as there often is. So if you could take a look at these questionnaires and fill them out accordingly and return them to the congregation, to the church office, or to your elder over the next week or so, then we will have all this information prepared and ready to go. And as we gather in worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign to us that Christ is the light of the world and brings light into each of our lives. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Fling wide the temple gates.
Open up the ancient doors.
The mighty and glorious one is coming.
Who is the mighty and glorious one?
This is the Lord for whom we have waited.
Let us be glad and rejoice in God.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. God of all glory, we gather here today with the saints of every time and place to honor and praise your holy name. As you have revealed your mercy and might to your faithful people in every age, so let us glimpse, even through our tears, the mystery of your life-giving grace and the love that even death cannot destroy. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 13 in the Book of Praise. Ye gates, lift up your heads. Hymn number 13. Friends, it is only by the power of God that we are able to stand against evil. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before us on the screens. O Christ, when you saw that Lazarus died, you began to weep. So you weep with us, Lord, when we are surrounded by death and decay. Unbind us, O Lord, from the destructive forces of this world. Unbind us from greed, power, and shame. Unbind us from solitude, self-righteousness, and self-doubt. Bind us instead to one another and to you. Forgive us when we do not live like your new creations, and by your grace, free us from all that keeps us bound. Amen. Now let us stand firm in our faith, covered by the saving grace of God and ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, we turn in our book of praise to hymn 475. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. Hymn 475, or as it will appear before you on the screens. Please be seated. And I would ask the young people who are here, if they'd like to, they can come forward this morning. That was a neat trick. They didn't see it. She jumped backwards up into the pew without her hands or anything. Good morning. How's everybody this morning?
Good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. We have a special morning this morning. It's been a special week this week. Church special week. Yeah, it has been. It started a couple of nights ago. It's Halloween. And did you go out for Halloween? Yeah? Get lots of candy? Yeah, and eat lots before you came to church this morning? I worked in a church once where Easter Sunday, the Sunday school was before the children came up for worship because we were a multiple point charge. They hopped the kids up with chocolate and then sent them up for the children's story. I'll never forgive those Sunday school teachers. But that didn't happen for you guys this morning, did it? But do you have a good Halloween?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? Do you know what I did on Halloween? I wasn't planning to do this. I was sitting at my computer about 10:30 or so, just looking at stuff on YouTube, and I watched a church service on All Hallows Eve. Halloween, All Hallows Eve. And that's important to say it that way because All Hallows Eve, Halloween, is the night before All Saints Day. You knew that, didn't you? He did, I don't. And All Saints Day is the day before All Souls Day. Three celebrations of the church that we usually don't do much with, do we? We don't really. Anybody know the finer difference between All Saints and All Souls? Do you know? You do? What is it? No, that's not quite. All Saints is for all. I think I've got this right. I hope I've got this right. All Saints is for all believers. We remember all believers who have died. All Souls is everyone. Yep. Okay, so just that's more for your parents than for you guys. But I think that's how it works. But we're celebrating All Saints Day here this morning. Now, who knows what's a saint? Do you know what a saint is?
Yeah.
What's a saint?
It's like something's named after like the saint. Because me and my brother go to Saint Peter.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point. We often name things after saints, don't we? What's the name of this church?
St. John.
We're St. John's. We're named after John the Apostle, who was a follower of Jesus, right? So we remember people who were special people in the history of the church. Followers of Jesus, the people we find sometimes named in Scripture or people who have done great things. But there's more. Who else is a saint? Do you know? Have you ever met a saint, Jake? You don't know. Good answer. Non-committal answer. Always a good way to avoid the trick questions that the minister asks in the children's story. Who's met a saint? Have you met a saint?
No.
No, you don't think so? Oh. Did you listen to the song that we just sang? I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. for us, within our tradition, we believe that the saints just aren't special people who are named in the Bible and who followed Jesus. Not just people who have done great things in the name of the church. But if you would stand up, and turn around so you look in the same way I am, you see all of these people and all of these faces. Sorry, guys, I'm just about off the camera. See all these people and all of these faces? They're saints. They're people who have come to follow Jesus and to give him glory. And that's what we believe the saints are. Okay, we can sit down again. And do you know what that also means? Do you know what that also means, Ray? That means you're a saint too. So as we celebrate All Saints Day today in the church, we're saying we celebrate all of us who gather here today. So Connie, who sits back there, she's a saint. You are, Connie. Don't give me that shocked look. And Charles, who's sitting back over there, he's a saint. And Dale over there, he's a saint. And Gail is a saint. And people, for some of us, we don't go to the church where we grew up. But we remember the people who were important to us, our Sunday school teachers and our ministers. And they are saints. And part of the celebration of All Saints is to remember all of those people who have shown us what it means to be followers of Jesus. So as we go this morning, I'll invite you to listen to your lessons in Sunday school, because in those lessons we learn about saints. Maybe about, I didn't look at the bulletin and see what we were learning this morning. Who are we talking about? Are we talking about a saint in worship this in Sunday school this morning? No. The greatest commandment, how to be a saint. There you go. So we'll hear the greatest commandment this morning. So I hope you have a good time down in church school. And we'll see you all after worship this morning. So away you go. And for those of us who are left, we're going to learn how to be saints this morning, too. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Faithful God, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Sanctify us by your holy word and spirit, so that we may glorify you in the company of the faithful. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 to 9. And you can find that on page 666 of the Old Testament section in your pew Bibles if you want to read along. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the covering that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, see, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The psalm is Psalm 24, a responsive reading, and it will be, you can read along on the screen. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it.
For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers.
Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place?
Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully.
They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation.
Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory.
And our next reading is from the last, very last book in the Bible, the New Testament section. You can find it on page 249 if you want to read along, but it's all you can find it at the very back of the Bible. So Revelation 21, verses 1 to 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And we pray that these blessings, these readings, will be blessed to our understanding. Amen.
Once more, let us turn in praise in the book of praise to number 400, no, not 475, to number 209. O love that wilt not let me go, hymn 209.
Oh,
Once more, let us listen for God's word as it has been given to us in John chapter 11, reading verses 32 to 44. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. And so the Jews said, "See how much he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you have sent me." And when he said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him. Let him go." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, as many of you are aware, Colleen and I began our married life in Saskatchewan, and that's also where we began our ministries. And one of my favorite stories about the time we spent in Saskatchewan, so I hope I haven't told it here yet, happened within about the first 6 weeks that we were in Saskatchewan, that I was in Saskatchewan. And it was right around this time of year, because it was synod time. And we had driven from Bigger to Saskatoon for the meetings of synod, and one of the guests at synod that year was a friend of ours, who at the time was serving as a missionary with the Middle East Council of Churches, and he was based out of Nicosia in Cyprus. As we were nearing the end of the synod meetings that year, our friend asked if there was any way that we could make arrangements for him to visit a wheat farm in Saskatchewan. Because he noted that, you know, it's an iconic image, the image of a gang of combines moving through the field at harvest time on the prairies. And it's known far and wide, even in the Middle East, they know that image of a harvest of wheat from the prairies. And he said, "I will be asked when I get back home if I was able to see that." And so, with a couple of phone calls by Colleen's elder, there was arrangements were made to take Doug, our friend, out to see a farm just east of Bigger that evening. Farming had changed even then from the picture postcard gang of combines going down the field on the prairies, but That being said, we took him and he turned toward the farmyard, filled as it was with the massive grain bins holding the crop for the year, and a Quonset hut with the very large machinery that was used for farming by this time. The farmer noted that he and his son farmed the land as far as you could see from the middle of the farmyard. Something like 12 sections of land, or 8,000 acres, if you're not familiar with the section system. And as dusk settled across the land, we were invited into the house for a cup of tea and lunch. Farm people all over will feed you lunch at dusk. And the farmer pointed, while we were sitting there, the farmer pointed off to a light far off in the distance. And he noted that that light was the light for the airfield in the neighboring town to the south, 60 kilometers away, which just also happened to be the town in which I was ministering. One of the overwhelming things that you learn when you live on the prairies, especially for a young man from Canada's smallest province, is the scale. You can see for miles. There is this same sense of overwhelming perspective presented to us in this reading this morning from the book of Revelation. Here in this reading, we are invited to cast our gaze beyond the kingdom in which we dwell and out into the kingdom of God. And that ability to glimpse the kingdom of God, even when it seems so distant, has been a comfort for Christians since the writing of the book of Revelation. And it is indeed the hope found in that far away kingdom that is central to the book of Revelation. The revelation of John was given to a church, and John, a church leader, who lived in great peril. The early church with whom John of Patmos shared this vision was a church in the midst of chaos and suffering. It was existed during the last days of the Roman Empire, and this new faith group was an easy target upon which to blame all of the problems of an empire that was in decline. Persecuted, martyred, these early Christians lived in great fear. But John had received a vision of hope, a vision that indicated that their suffering was not in vain, but that God would redeem all of those who endure in the faith, that the suffering and the hardship of this life is not an end, but that there lay before them, just out there, the great reward of redemption and an eternity in the presence of God. And it is the promise of that same distant yet imminent kingdom that gives us hope too. For us who live in a North American church, we don't face persecution or live in fear because of our beliefs. And yet, that far, far greater that we share with our ancestors in the faith still holds us, that fear, pardon me, that is greater still holds us in its grip. The fear of our sinfulness, which separates us from God and which is most obviously revealed to us in our mortality. Like Mary and Martha, in the gospel story for this morning, we too know all too well the sadness and the sorrow of death, the hole that is left in our lives when someone we cherish dies, or the dread that, like Lazarus, we too are bound up in the reality of death. And yet, even from here, even when we are aware that we are standing in the kingdom of death, we have the assurance that the kingdom of life lies before us. The promise of a great feast or of a holy city come down from heaven with Jesus enthroned in the center of it, reigning over all, claiming us as Christ's own. At first glance, our theme graphics for this morning, I can't tell if you can see the theme graphic behind that or not. Our theme graphic for this morning is a depiction of some anonymous city somewhere, filled with towering skyscrapers. And yet, there is perhaps no more appropriate image on this day than that either. Because the experience of cities can be alienating for most, can't it? The city is the place where we feel most cut off from others. The crowd is where we lose our sense of self and the self of others. How often do we walk down the street and fail to see in the face of the other and to acknowledge those that we pass by the very image of the God in whose image we have been created? But from the city, we hear proclamation. From the city, we hear those words, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them." The heart of our faith is that God in Christ will transcend the limits of time and place, and that the great sinfulness of humanity will be undone, and that we will indeed be God's own people and dwell with him, ever singing his praises. And in that moment, every tear will indeed be wiped from every eye, because we will no longer live in the kingdom of death, but we will be citizens of the kingdom of life. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning's affirmation of faith is taken from the Living Faith document and speaks of our hope in God, which is chapter 10. Let us read responsively from the Living Faith. God has prepared for us things beyond our imagining. Our hope is for a renewed world and for fullness of life in the age to come. As Jesus has taught us, so we pray, "Thy kingdom come." Life in the age to come is pictured in the Bible in different ways: an eternal kingdom, a new heaven and earth, a marriage feast, an unending day, the Father's house, and the joy of God's presence. God will triumph over all opposition and everything that disrupts creation. We shall all stand under the final judgment of God as we receive the divine verdict on our lives. Worthy of hell, eternal separation from God, our hope is for heaven, the eternal life with God, through the grace bestowed on us in Jesus Christ. To say no to Christ is to refuse life and to embrace death. The destiny of all people is in the hands of God, whose mercy and justice we trust. Eternal life. As God raised Christ, so shall we be raised into a condition fit for life with God. Eternal life begins in this life. Whoever believes in the Son of God already has eternal life. In baptism, by faith, we die and rise with Christ, and so are one with the risen Lord. In death, we commit our future confidently to God. Amen. Who will enter the presence of the Lord? And who will stand in his holy place? Those who offer their whole lives to God, heart, mind, soul, and strength, they will receive the blessings of the Lord. Let us now present our tithes and offerings. We got a little bit out of order. Just give us a second this morning. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Let us pray. The earth belongs to you, O God, the world and all its peoples. For the blessings of this life and the gift of your salvation, we give you all thanks and praise. As you have sought us out to save us, help us to seek your face amongst our neighbors so that all may know the wonder of your love. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we move into this moment of remembrance, we begin by lighting a candle for all those of the St. John's congregation who have died during the past 12 months and who now rest in the Lord. We remember John McMartin, David Hickey, Brent Nixon, Libby Vipond, Robert and Margaret Dubay, and Stuart Bowman. And we light candles in remembrance of those who have received funeral services from St. John's during the past 12 months. Joan Rouet, Brenda Vallade, Sandra Lee Lalonde. And we remember those who live on in the hearts of members of our church family. We remember Nancy Foreman, who is the sister of Johnine Rennie. Ray Bowman, brother of Don. David McDougall, the son of Archie and Gail McDougall. And Yvonne Splane, wife of Oren Splane. And we remember all those who have died this past year, all the saints who from their labor rest and who now dwell in God's eternal presence. Eternal rest grant unto these your servants, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon them. May their souls and all the souls of the faithful departed through your mercy rest in peace. Amen. Our prayers of the people this morning will include the sections of the closing hymn, number 611, For All the Saints. So you may, if you are following along in the book, you will want to keep your book beside you and open. If you prefer to do the hymns from the screen, then it will appear before you like magic. But as we come in prayer, and then there will be sections of the prayer and then verses interspersed, but we begin and end the hymn in as the hymn itself, and we will stand now to sing verses 1 and 2 of For All the Saints. Please be seated. And we will remain seated throughout the prayer. Let us pray. Creating and redeeming God, we honor and adore you, for out of nothing you created the heavens and the earth and all those things that fill them with life and stir a sense of wonder within us. Great are you, and greatly to be praised. As the pinnacle of your creation, you created humanity and breathed your spirit into us, that we might know your will and walk in your ways. We praise you for our high nature. Help us then, O God, to stand firm in our faith and never to be so overwhelmed by the seas of this life that we forget your care and abiding presence with us in all of life. Abiding God, we give you thanks that you have called us to be your church, wherein your name is praised, your word proclaimed, and the pain and grief of your world are recognized and held up in prayer. May your praise fill our hearts, that wherever we may find ourselves in life, our spirits might be lifted up by your glory. May our lives be drawn nearer into your likeness as we hear your word proclaimed and teach it to our children and our children's children, that we may stand in an unbroken fellowship of your people in all generations, and may our arms be strengthened to reach out in service of our neighbors in need, all those who hunger and thirst, in our own community and around the world. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, hold before us a vision of your heavenly kingdom, where death is swallowed up and we will feast in your presence. Until then, grant us your peace, O God. Remove from us the fear of death, and wipe away all tears from the eyes of those who mourn. Inspire us to commit our lives to holding forth a glimpse of your kingdom glory to all those we meet. And as we live lives worthy, and as we do, may we live lives worthy of the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. With a loud voice, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out." So now he calls us to go forth in faith and love, living each day as a gift of God's grace, proclaiming the gospel in word and deed. And may the Lord our God, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, be with you this day and forevermore. Alleluia. Amen.
Amen. We praise your name, O Lord. Amen. We praise your name, O Lord.